My name is Steve Skinner. On the line with me right now is a nurse from the Front Range. Nurse, we're going to call her Nurse Sarah to protect her anonymity. And she works at a long-term care facility, senior housing in the Front Range. And she joins us right now on the line. Good morning, Nurse Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for so much for taking our call this morning.
Of course.
I really appreciate you doing that. And I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people who have moms and dads. Thank you for working as a nurse in a long-term senior care facility.
Oh, my pleasure.
Can you loosely describe the facility in which you work?
I work at a facility that has about 100 patients, residents, and one side is assisted living, and then there's the long-term care facility as well that looks after people that have any, you know, a slew of issues ranging from some are more cognitively aware than others, and, you know, I'm just there to help them out in their day-to-day needs.
And describe the rest of the staff. So you're a registered nurse on staff.
Are there others?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there are a few registered nurses on staff. We have a doctor that comes in and does checkups on people in the morning and assessments. And then there's a lot of certified nurses assistants and licensed practical nurses that work there as well.
Can you describe the living conditions? Are people in their own rooms? Are they sharing rooms? Is there a cafeteria?
People are in their own rooms, yep. Okay. And one of the things that since COVID has started, people aren't allowed to eat in the dining area, so they have to actually eat in their rooms. So people are pretty much sanctioned to their rooms 24 hours a day.
How does that feel to those folks that are more isolated than ever? Are they suffering from that experience?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, picture it if you were stuck in your room, you know, like you're watching the world go by and there really isn't a whole lot of world to watch outside anyhow. So they're just, you know, stuck in their rooms. They eat their meals in their rooms. They have their TVs and their telephones, and that's basically their connection to the outside world. Other than that, they have nurses and certified nurses assistants and kitchen staff who go in and try to, you know, interact with them as much as possible. But given the environment that we're working in, it's very difficult because if you're in someone's room, you have to make sure that you get everything you need done in that time because you have to re-glove and you're wearing all your PPE. So once you leave that room, because everything is timed and there are so many people to look after, you want to make sure that you take care of that patient or that resident completely before you exit the room.
I was curious about that. You're wearing full protective equipment when you visit a senior citizen in one of the rooms.
Yes.
That's got to be hard for you as a nurse too, because I know that a lot of nurses like to interact with their patients, and to have somebody coming at you in a full spacesuit's got to be a little bit different than if they're coming in, you know, with a big smile on their face.
Exactly. And, you know, like a lot of people don't know who you are, so you try to wear your name tag out on the front so they can see with whom they're speaking. But at the same time, they can't understand a lot of what I'm saying because I have on two masks and a face shield with goggles, and it's hot. It is very hot under all of that equipment. So you're sweating while taking care of them, and you're trying to, you know, listen to their lung sounds or their bowel sounds, and they don't understand what you're communicating to them. So a lot of the times there's a miscommunication. And if you're dealing with an elderly patient or any patient in general, there has to be a certain level of trust there. And if people have to be vulnerable around you and they feel a little bit threatened, it makes for a totally different challenge within your work.
Nurse Sarah, I lost my mom in October. I think she would have really had a very challenging time with COVID-19 restrictions and not being able to do the little bit of socializing that she did get, and also to take visits from family members.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's the most difficult thing because it's starting to lighten up a little bit now because of the fact that there, you know, our restrictions are something that we have to try to explain to the residents don't come from us. It's not a facility-based restriction. It is the state dictating and mandating what we are allowed to allow them to do. So it's the trickle-down effect. But for some of these folks, they haven't seen their family members in 3 months. And if they live up on, like, you know, level than the first floor, they cannot see their family members. They don't get to look eye to eye to them. Excuse me. So, you know, you try to make them call people as much as possible, but a lot of these folks feel abandoned, because if there's any type of memory problem at all, they feel that their family has abandoned them, and they don't understand what has gone on. And they don't understand why this woman in a spacesuit is in there trying to touch her, you know. Yeah. And their cognitive level goes down significantly. I mean, we have all sorts of activities that we have them participating in to try to keep them sharp, but I mean, when you don't have that interaction going on and you're isolated, you're going to decline.
Nurse Sarah, that is absolutely heartbreaking, I have to say. And I'm curious about the morale of the employees at this senior center. How are your coworkers and yourself holding up under those circumstances?
We're doing all right, surprisingly. It's brought everyone together, because you realize that nursing, anyhow, you know, is somewhat, it's a sisterhood and a family, and you work together, and because there's a bigger job that needs to get done and it requires a lot of teamwork. But this has really shown, it's brought out a whole side of care, because you need to, I mean, for instance, like, I put on music in their rooms and dance for the patients while I'm doing their assessments, because I need to lighten the mood a little bit for them. So, you know, like, a lot of us have started to do that sort of thing. Like, you know, we sing and dance for them. And, you know, it's kind of like us trying to, all of the staff trying to work together. But at the same time, there is a level of stress that's involved, and we're tired, you know, like, there's working a 12, 14 hour shift takes its toll on you, and you're on your feet the whole time, and you're changing your PPE. And wearing that PPE is heavy, and it's hot. So it requires you to move a certain way. You start breathing a certain way. And, you know, a lot of it, if you lean over, your whole mask will and shield will fog up. So you're constantly aware of your every move, which is mentally exhausting. So there have been moments where we're all getting along, but at the same time, like, you get a little challenged with people when someone's not doing it the right way, because it requires us to also be very strict with hand hygiene. And so everyone's always watching each other, and, you know, tempers flare. It's a workplace environment, but for the most part, I think we've done all right.
Talking to Nurse Sarah, she's a long-term care facility nurse at a senior housing facility in the Front Range. She's talking to us this morning on the KFFR CoronaCast. I do want to ask you about that PPE. First of all, I guess I would be curious to know, has your facility experienced any shortages or threats of shortages of these kinds of equipment that you need to do your job?
Thankfully, no, it has not. We have been fully stocked with PPE. If anything, some of it, you know, because you're dealing with these gowns and these gloves and the N95 masks, and then you have a surgical mask over that, and then you wear your goggles and a face shield. Some of it's protective. It feels it's not overkill, but there are moments where you start to question, like, the sanity behind everything. You know, like,
right.
Why am I wearing all of this? Like, what is the point of it? Because to have goggles on and a face shield over a surgical mask and an N95 mask seems a little bit like overkill, but it's necessary. So, because you think of other facilities where people haven't had these things, you know. So I'm very grateful in the fact that I've been blessed with, you know, this PPE to be available to me, because I have other nurses friends that don't have this. They're wearing trash bags, you know. So, yeah. And I have another facility that I had worked for that wasn't set up at all, and they were taking COVID patients. You know, it's not this facility, but another one I had worked for, didn't have anything even remotely close to what was required. And, you know, it just became kind of in, like, a free for all.
Nurse Sarah, talk about your routine. How long is your daily shift? Do you, what do you wear underneath? Are you wearing scrubs? And how long does it take you to suit up in your equipment? And then, after you visit a client or a patient, what do you have to switch out, and how long does that take? And how much of your day is spent just kind of shuffling around this protective equipment?
Oh, hours. It's adding up very quickly. So my shift, anyhow, is a 12-hour shift, 12, 13-hour shift. And typically my job takes 12 to 13 hours to do. There's never a dull moment. And the patient care itself has kind of suffered because every time I wear my gown and then I have an N95 mask and then a surgical mask over that, I have goggles on and a face shield. And then I wear gloves and sometimes a booties if I have to, depending upon which room I'm going into. And every time I walk out of a room, I have to switch out the gown. So I switch out the gown and then I have to go into the next patient's room. But I walk out, I wash my hands. I usually like wipe down my mask and then we'll have to go back in, put another gown on, put more gloves on, and then put my face shield back on and walk back into the other room. So it slows you down because every time you change, it takes about like 3 to 5 minutes.
Wow.
So if you have that times like 20, 30 patients that you're going to visit that afternoon, that morning, and you're doing it repeatedly throughout the course of the day because you have timed medications that these folks are on, it adds hours onto your day. So you start moving at a faster pace. And I'm handling medications that I need to make sure are correct in terms of dosages, and everything needs to be timed. So because some of these medications need to be taken at the exact moment every single day. So it really does start to, you have to speed up the pace, but at the same time, go slow enough that you're not rushing the resident because they need that as part of their care is to feel that human connection, because that's probably the only human connection they're going to get that day.
And Nurse Sarah, has your long-term care facility, senior housing, been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic?
We have, yes. We had a few COVID cases, but right now we're free and clear. So I mean, I attribute that to, again, like the team just working together to, you know, it was actually kind of miraculous because it spread like wildfire, you know, in other facilities. So once we had a case, we were, you know, it was nerve wracking, like, you know, like how is this going to pan out? But luckily it, everyone worked together and, you know, kept it at bay.
And did you have fatalities?
We did, but it hasn't been directly, you know, with the whole way of their testing for it, you can't be too certain, you know, that if this person died from natural causes that had COVID, or, and that's the other part that's confusing about it as well. You know, like, did they die directly due to this, or was it the symptoms or the causes of this disease, but they also had this disease prior to that?
Right. The state recently changed how they're reporting fatalities, because there's some that are directly COVID-19, and then there were cases who died that had COVID-19. So
exactly.
I appreciate that distinction. Just curious about when you go in and dance and sing for the the residents, have you switched anybody over to be a fish fan?
I have not. No, unfortunately not. I saved them from it. I feel as though, you know, as Jerry Garcia described the Grateful Dead, they're like black licorice, you know, like not everybody digs them. So I feel like it's my own personal choice to love fish, though. I'm interested to see what people would feel. I put on Malt Chop Oldies for them. That's their jam. They like, you know, the old school music. And I have some moves too. I work on them in my kitchen on my days off.
Well, I have no doubt, because most fish fans know how to dance.
Yes, we do. Hell yeah, we do. Nothing like twirling in a circle in your bare feet to take your mind off of things, right?
You must really miss that whole scene of being out and enjoying fish.
Oh my goodness. It is. It's, I mean, I have a love for that band. I have a love for music on it's such a soul connection for me. And this is, it's been so strange. You know, like I've had some troubles this week and I just found myself being like, I just want to go somewhere and listen to live music and dance. That's all I want to do. And, you know, it's my escape and it's been taken from me. I mean, it's been a challenge.
Nurse Sarah, as a musician, I can totally relate. I love playing in front of people and watching them enjoy the music and connecting to people with music. So I can appreciate that you've lost that very important piece of your life. And I appreciate all of your dedication to being a nurse. Just curious before I let you go,
sure.
What motivated you to become a nurse. It's not the greatest paying profession. It's not the safest profession. It's not the best hours.
No.
What motivated you originally, and are you glad that you're still a nurse?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. This is one of the reasons I became a nurse. I never forecasted a pandemic happening where I was going to be called upon and be working in a facility where I'd be working with the most affected, but or most vulnerable rather. I love people. I love my fellow humans. And I had a history where I was working in the service industry and I was making a lot of money. And I just woke up one day and decided, I thought it was my calling in life. So I just went back to school. I could feel it in my bones. I was supposed to be a nurse and I wanted to help people. Like helping people, what greater gift could you be given to have someone trust you enough to allow themselves to be vulnerable around you and let you help heal them? You know, that's such a beautiful connection that you can have with another person. And I just feel like it's love, you know, like I get to give people love all day long. And that is a beautiful thing because I think that's what we all need.
Sure. I mean, I haven't had too many experiences being in super vulnerable positions, but every time I do encounter a nurse, even when I was with my mom, it's almost always a very pleasant experience. Nurse Sarah, thank you so much for spending some time this morning.
Of course. Thank you. My pleasure.
And I was going to play a fish song for you and our listeners. Do you like the tune Down with Disease?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
Let's have a glow stick war.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And I do appreciate you taking the time. And I appreciate what you're doing for the human race.
Right on. Thank you.
Okay, you too. That was Nurse Sarah, long-term care facility nurse at a senior housing facility on the Front Range, speaking to us this morning on the KFFR CoronaCast. Here's Fish.
That this has all been wonderful, but now I'm on my way. and I think it's time to leave it all behind. I try to find a way to, but there's nothing I can say to make it stop.